Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
I think so many of us, we have a tendency to stop at certain places in our walk with God, and part of that is because, number one, I don't think we haven't been taught, or maybe we haven't designed to go further, but I know that God wants us to walk in the fullness of what He has for us. Amen. So, you know, the message of the kingdom is a message that is very, very important, and we know it was the message that Jesus taught. But I want to show you just one or two things out of this evening that hopefully will encourage you and strengthen you and help you to move forward with your walk with Him. So let's start with Matthew 3, verses 1 to 2. Matthew 3, verses 1 to 2. Amen. And sounds like my son wants to preach as well, so... In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." It was amazing that John the Baptist's message was also a message of the kingdom, but really his emphasis was on the repent. Can we all agree on that? So there's no doubt that as he began preaching his message in the wilderness, the message was about repentance. The message was about turning away from sin and turning away from those things and turning our hearts towards God. But what amazes me is when Jesus comes on the scene and he goes and gets baptized by John, he goes into the wilderness to face the devil. He faces the devil and overcomes the devil. And he comes out of the wilderness, and this is what it says. It says in Matthew 4, 17, it says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" So Jesus starts his ministry by teaching the very same message that John preached, which is about the kingdom being at hand and that we need to repent. So what is the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven in the Greek is the word, well, the word kingdom is the word basileia, which speaks of kingship, dominion, royal power, rule, or royal reign. If you had to try and describe it in a spiritual sense, it would basically mean it is a manifestation of the realm of heaven and the manifestation of God's will, where His will is established and executed. It is when God manifests His glory and His presence, His dominion, His rule, and in that place His will is established and executed. So to make it simple, or to make it easy to understand, it's the dominion or the rule of God. And basically, when we are on this earth, we live in a fallen world. It's a world that is full of sin. It is a world that is full of defeat. Even, think about it, even those that seem successful suffer great loss. They struggle through life, and you know, very few really seem to be fulfilled. But Jesus came and he brought a message of a kingdom that would be able to overcome the kingdom of this world. So the message of the kingdom is one that brings hope. It's one that brings life. It's one that brings peace. It's one that brings joy. Now, the message is the kingdom, the message of the kingdom of heaven. Can we all agree on that? All right. Now, what's very interesting to me, and I'm going to talk more about the kingdom in just a minute, that what's very interesting to me is that Jesus and John constantly spoke about the kingdom being at hand. The kingdom being at hand. And what that word in the Greek there, at hand, means is it means engezo. Engezo, which means that the kingdom is drawing near, coming near, bringing near, or if you want to simplify it, it's right here. It's at hand. Does that make sense? So the kingdom of heaven, which Jesus came to establish on earth, is not far away or impossible to get. It's like right here, within the reach of your hand. Amen. Which is great. Amen. The Jewish people were expecting a Messiah to come, or the Messiah to come and establish on earth a rulership, and set them free from the rulers of this world. They believe he'll be some kind of political guy and that he would establish a kingdom here on earth and rule. What they didn't understand that it was not going to be like that. Okay. He was coming to set up a kingdom that was not of this world. Is that okay? So the kingdom of heaven is exactly that. The kingdom of heaven. What is heaven like? Heaven has joy. Heaven has peace. Heaven has love. Heaven has no sickness. Is that right? Okay. So we see that the kingdom of heaven is awesome. Right? And on earth, the kingdom on earth, earth's kingdom, is one of sickness, poverty, suffering, pain, depression, all that stuff. So the kingdom that Jesus was planning to bring or establish here on earth was one that would give us peace and joy and love and grace and mercy and health and prosperity. Does that make sense? Okay, how can I say that? Well, he said, when his disciples asked him to teach us to pray, he said this. He said, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not only your will, but also your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Right? So we know that we have access to the kingdom of God on earth. But the message in the beginning was one that the kingdom is at hand. It's like right here. Okay? Now this week while I was praying, I realized something. That for many of us, it will always be at hand. Some of us, the reality is for some of us and some believers, the kingdom doesn't even feel like it's at hand. It's like down there. Or let me rather do this. It's up there. And yes, it is up there, absolutely. But the Lord said that he wants his kingdom, the kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus came and he demonstrated the kingdom here on earth by doing what? By praying for the sick, by healing the brokenhearted, by setting the captive free. So he was demonstrating that kingdom here on earth. Is it making sense, guys? So he had the kingdom manifesting all around him, everywhere he went. He had the kingdom manifesting and he was demonstrating it and he was showing it everywhere. Everywhere he went. So if the kingdom is at hand, it's right here. That means that joy and peace and love and healing and all those things are within the reach of our hand. The first thing we need to do to be able to experience the kingdom is repent, right? And we do that, right? When we give our lives to the Lord, we repent. We turn from our wicked ways. We repent and we begin to serve him. Now, what we don't seem to grasp as believers is that when we do that, we are now part of that kingdom. Is that okay? Yes. We have now inherited salvation. We've given our lives to him. We believe that Jesus died and rose again and is the Son of God. And now we have access to the kingdom. But what so many of us do is we take all of what the kingdom is and we put it over here and we just walk in this repented lifestyle, just walking with him and serving him, but never really stepping into it, never really taking a hold of the kingdom. Okay? Is that okay? Okay. It's a little different tonight. I don't know why I'm doing this. Okay. The word repent means that we need to change what we're doing, turn away from it. We need to turn the other way. Is that okay? But you see, I really believe we get stuck because we repent. The kingdom of God is at hand. Okay? Which means it's over here. But it's very interesting because in Luke 17, verse number 20, the Pharisees asked Jesus a question which is mind-blowing. Because all of a sudden, everything changes. Watch. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, 'See here' or 'See there.' For indeed," listen now, "the kingdom of God is within you." Now, many translations will actually translate it differently, but let me tell you, they are wrong. Because the Greek word there is no longer the word that I read to you earlier on, which was, let me find it for you. Engezo, which means to draw near or come near or bring near. It's no longer that Greek word. The Greek word that's used here is the Greek word entos. Entos. Which means inside or within you. So the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is now no longer when we become believers, we get filled with the Spirit. It's no longer here. It's now here. It's inside you. Which means you have the ability to tap into what's already been placed inside you. And be able to manifest that on this earth. Now, this is very exciting, actually. Unfortunately, most of us, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is here. And we live our lives like this. This is how we live as Christians. Today, I'm soaring and I'm doing really well and things are going great and I'm moving forward with the Lord and it's good and there's a little bit of presence and everything, but I do something wrong and, you know, so now it's not really quite there anymore. So I don't feel like I can even pray for people. I don't feel like I can move. I can't do anything. I'm struggling. So we stay in that place of the kingdom of God being at hand. Most of us never really recognize that the kingdom no longer is at hand, but it's now within. It's no longer at hand, it's now within. Which means it's not within less today than what it was within less tomorrow or less yesterday. I gave my heart to Him. I gave my life to Him. He's touched me. His power has come upon me. I have access to this kingdom all the time. All the time. I said to Mike, be ready. In season and out of season. Be ready. Be ready to be used by God. Be ready to be called upon by God in season and out of season. Whenever He chooses, whenever He wants to use you, you need to be ready. The problem is, if your mind isn't right, if you don't understand who you are in Christ, if you haven't got a relationship with Him and understand that it's by grace that we have everything we need, you will always struggle and it will always be, you'll always have this mindset of the kingdom being here and you have to do something or get right to be able to access it. I counsel so many people and they're like, you know, I got to get right. No, well, no, your mind has to get right, but actually it's already in you. It's already in you. How can we see an example of this? I've shared this with you before, but I'm going to quickly read it again just so you can see how powerful this really is. We take the guy who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Now, if there was anyone who demonstrated the power of God or the kingdom of God wherever he went, it was Paul the Apostle. Do we all agree? And Paul says this in Romans 7:21. He says, "I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good, for I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So he recognizes that there will always be a conflict inside of himself. But what Paul also understands is that it's all by grace. What Paul also understands is that even though inside of him is a battle that's going on, he already has the kingdom living inside of him. He does not submit to the enemy. He does not submit to a fallen nature. When something rises up in him, he doesn't submit to that. It doesn't affect when he ministers. It doesn't affect when he reaches out. It doesn't affect when he prays for someone, because he already knows that the kingdom is no longer at hand, but it's now within. It's within you. Alex, please get me a cloth, man. Thank you. So how do we access this? How do we access the kingdom inside of ourselves? Mark 10:15 says this: "Assuredly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it." I love the Bible. Because if you tell a child that you're a king, they believe it. Man, they believe it. Like, they'll wear their crown, and as far as they're concerned, they are a king. But we struggle so much with the fact that God says, "Listen, I sent my son to die on that cross so that the same things that he did, you can do, because the price has been paid for you. You are now a son and daughter of God. You are now have access to the kingdom just like my son did. You have been adopted by him," right? You all know the scripture, right? So we are now sons of God. Therefore, we share in that inheritance, right? So we have this ability. We have access to all that is necessary for us to move in the kingdom. But because we feel like Paul felt, sometimes we tend to, once again, put it over there. And only when we feel right do we take it. But we shouldn't live that way. Because regardless of how you feel, he is inside you. I'm not telling you that you must now go and sin. For goodness sake, don't be silly. The more you realize this, the more it should set you free. And the more you should hate that sin, just like Paul did. Sin or shortcomings or weaknesses, whatever it is, it becomes so something you don't want to be a part of your life. Because once you begin to touch or taste his glory, once you begin to taste his goodness and his love and his mercy, you don't want anything to get in the way of your relationship with him. But we have this tendency to always have the internal conflict, to always struggle with the inner man. I can't tell you that it ever goes away, because I still struggle with my inner man. But I have come to realize, because I believe the word of God to be true, that if the kingdom is inside me, that means it's there. It's not going anywhere. I have access to it. I know he's put a deposit in me. I know there's a treasure in earthen vessels that's inside me. Amen. Okay. First Corinthians 4, verse number 12 says this: "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." But in power. In other words, Jesus taught the kingdom, but what he did more than speak about it was demonstrate it. Don't misunderstand the scripture. It says it's not in word, it's in power. But power is not only power that you see, it's also power that you experience. What do I mean by that? Love is power. Love can set you free. Love can heal a broken heart. Love can touch you in such a powerful way. There must be a demonstration of both his demonstrated power, healing and all that stuff, but also a demonstration of his love. And if you see Jesus' style and his heart when he ministers to people, he ministers to whoever. Doesn't matter how bad they've been, doesn't matter what their background is, he ministers to them with great compassion and love. And that's what sets them free. And when that grace and that mercy comes to them, it hits them so hard. And then the power, the miracle is easy from there. Is that okay? Some of you are looking at me a little bit strange tonight. That's okay. Matthew 10, 7 to 8 says this. And as you go, preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is what he told his disciples. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely you have given. He has the secret. Everything God does through you has been given to you freely. Not because you did anything to deserve it. It was given to you because he paid the price. So now make yourself available to him so that he can use you to demonstrate his kingdom with his power, with his love, with his mercy, and with his goodness. It's time for us as believers to stop taking all the supernatural. The Bible is full of God's mercy, his love, and his power. Why do we choose to say, I don't want that? Why do we choose to say, I don't desire to walk or to know that? I'd rather just be over here and just, you know, just make it through to the other side and one day I'll be in heaven and that'll be great. I don't know about you guys, but I don't want that. I want to walk with him. I want to get to the place where I can just know. Because of my relationship with God, I just know he's here. I know that if I start to pray for people tonight, they will get touched. I know that if I call someone up who has a broken heart, he's going to heal them. Why? Because his kingdom is inside me. I hear his voice. I know when he speaks. He's amazing. It's not about me. You see, in this room, there are so many people with so many needs. And he wants to meet that need. And the problem is he starts to raise you up to become all he's called you to be. And all you can focus on is your problems. And he's saying, don't you know that the kingdom's inside you? Don't you know that my presence, my spirit is inside you? Take your mind and change it and grasp the fact that I've already put it in you and I want to use you and I can use you, but you've got to get this thing out of the way. You've got to get your mind out of the way and you've got to submit to him. The Bible says he's a healer, so he'll heal. He's a deliverer, so he'll deliver. Amen? Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.